Live from Liverpool, we don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Merry morrow, you wonderful, wonderful, dare I say, beautiful people. It is indeed a Wednesday, which means it's a bi-weekly Wednesday, and therefore it's a we don't need to talk about ghosts episode. I know we've had a lot of new people join recently, and I can tell that by the emails I'm getting saying, I've just started listening, because I'm clever like that. And if you have just started listening, just to let you know, there may not be some paranormal news or gossip or conversation in this episode, because basically what happened is when we all got hit with the pandemic, me and Becca decided we needed something to do, so we started to do a weekly episode, an extra episode where we don't talk about ghosts, we just talk about general day-to-day stuff, so we had something to do, and so that you had a bit of content to consume, because during this pandemic, I have never listened to as many podcasts in my life as I have in the last, like, 6 to 8 months. So, that's why we do it. We've started to only do them once every other week now, and the reason for that is we've launched The Dark Paranormal, a second podcast, which is a more serious look at some ghosty stories. You can search for that wherever you get your podcasts. And, obviously, by now you're wondering, he's normally throwing it over to Becca to say, and I'm with Becca, but I'm not with her. She's gone to get a haircut. She goes once every 6 months to this wonderful barber's, or not barber's, what do you call hairdresser, yeah, I suppose, and says, take an inch off, please, and they say, very well, and then she comes back 6 months later and goes, it's grew an inch, can you sort that out, and they go, very well, and she's done that with the same hairdresser since she was about 12, I think, which is lovely, so she's currently out getting her hair cut. She will be back in time for the Patreon episode, hopefully, where I want to look at this week, on the Patreon episode, anyway, looking at some of the most famous ghost pictures that have been taken. Because the reason that I'm not doing that in this episode is you can put them photos up on Patreon for people to look at whilst they're listening. That's why. And don't forget, if you want to become a Patreon, you can go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. And you get an extra 2 episodes each and every week. Anyway, enough plugging of that. How are you all? I think this is going to be quite exciting because normally, as you know, during these episodes, me and Becca have a conversation and we bounce back off each other. And that's how the conversation develops. Whereas, similar to a normal episode, it's just going to be rambling old me with no script, no premise, no guidelines for approximately 20 to 30 minutes, which is going to be fun. And I've heard talking to yourself for that length of time can result in madness, but, you know, it hasn't currently. As you may be able to hear by some scratching and paper noises, dummy, that's not a ghost, that's the neighbour's cat. The neighbour's cat is on full form today, ripping up pieces of paper. Sorry, I'm just drinking some coffee because I've just woken up, yes. So, it's a Wednesday morning, it's approximately 9 a.m, the sun is blaring through the windows like a beast. And, yes, it's a glorious day, I hope you're all well. Let me tell you what I've done yesterday. 2 things. One, there's a radio station in the UK, right, which is called Greatest Hits Radio. Now, I'm sure that you have a similar one in the States or in Australia or wherever you listen to radio. And it basically plays all the old hits such as, what was on earlier was When Smokey Sings, dun, 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 I Hold a Violin, dun, and all that. And it's effing marvellous, and I love it. And yesterday, as radio stations tend to do, stop being a nuisance. Better. As radio stations tend to do, they had like a thing where they went, okay, we'd like you to ring up, and we're looking for songs which are also occupations. Because, you know, you must have thought of that over his crunchies in the morning. So, people are ringing in and saying, like, hello, it's Bob from... I can't do accents. I'll try. Hello, it's Bob from somewhere north in England. And I like to say, working in a coal mine by Chaz and Dave. And, very good, yeah. Okay, great, yes. It's, yes, working in a coal mine. That's an occupation. You know, or think of another one. I'm sure you're all thinking of loads. How about, okay, we've got Barry from Wales. Hello, I'd like to see you. There's a man work down the chip shop, thinks he's Elvis. Oh, very good, Kirsty McCall. Yeah, that's an occupation, working in a chip shop. I'm related to Paul McCartney, by the way. So yeah, that sort of thing. So I thought, I know, I can't think of one, but I'm going to ring and suggest one. So I ring and I get through to the receptionist. And she says, are you going to suggest a song which is also an occupation for us to play? And I said, yes. Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. And she said, oh, you can't have that. Now, the thing is, I just talked with Becca for a good half an hour prior to this, saying, I think it's a good suggestion. And we come to the conclusion, it was. Because it arguably is somebody's occupation, because a serial killer slash a psycho killer, you know, it's all they do, really. You know, they put their heart and soul into it. We wouldn't have Netflix without it, so it is a real kind of occupation. We wouldn't have murder squads, police, detectives. You know what I mean? Jack the Ripper, for example. We'd never have the history of his wonderful act with it. I don't mean that. Sorry, that was a bit of verbal diarrhea coming out there. I don't mean his acts were wonderful. They were obviously terrible. He was a bloody murderer, literally. What I mean is we wouldn't have all of the films and all of the history that comes along. I'm not condoning murder. I just need to get that straight. But what I do want to say is, it felt like a possible reasonable, albeit a bit left field, suggestion for this phone-in. So, back to the conversation. Hi, do you have a suggestion for our occupation songs? Yes, Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. I don't think that's a suitable occupation. Do you have another? No, let me explain why. I've just discussed this. Let me explain why we think it is. So I then give the whole diatribe. No. Do you have another? Or I'll have to end the call. The other call is trying to get through. Well, there's no need to be rude, lady. No, I don't have another. I think Psycho Killer's a good suggestion. I mentioned it to the DJ. I think he would actually be all... Oh, it turns out when I do that noise, the neighbour's cat looks at me as into, why are you making that weird noise? Anyway, she hung up on me. Yes, she did. For probably trying to be a smart ass, but, you know, never mind. So that was part one of my day yesterday. Then part two. Now, I'm sure that the men out there of a certain age, and I mean like, you know, like that, over 20, basically. Or over 22, let's say. Don't know why. But let's say I've been going out with Becca for 8 years, okay? And I know all of her family, and they're all lovely people. They genuinely are. So her little sister has started going out with this guy, who happens to also be called Kev. And he's a lovely guy, too. Anyway, there's this, like, male bonding ritual that seems to go on in these situations. And I know, because I've seen my dad do it with his potential brother and son-in-law and stuff like this. So I know it goes on. But I was roped into one, shall we say, yesterday. And I was all for it. And I had fun, and it was a good laugh. Don't get me wrong. So it was suggested that the three of us, Becca's dad and his two potential son-in-laws, should go for a game of golf. Now, it turns out that her sister's boyfriend, Kev, is almost bloody professional in golf. And I mean, like, professional. Like, let me put it into perspective. I don't own golf clubs. I don't own any golf attire. The last time I played golf was when I was 20, which is 21 years ago. And back then I decided I don't like golf. My dad loves it. I don't. I'm not overly fond of it. Anyway, so I haven't played it in 21 years. I don't own any paraphernalia. So I turn up at her dad's, and her dad, to be fair, he's a lovely guy. So he says, I've put some clubs in this old bag. So, you know, you've got a set to go around with. If you call it a set, I don't know. So I said, thank you very much. So to show you how this day then went, we turn up at the golf club. I carry my bag to the first hole, I take the bag off my shoulder, and the bag nearly pulls me over. And the reason for that is a metal hook attached to one of the zips has pierced my three-day-old brand new jumper and put a big hole in it and tried to pull me over as the bag dropped. Fair enough. So that's part one. Then, part two, we find out that the other Kev is a semi-professional golfer and starts literally hitting it with one club from the tee, as it's called, that's what you put the ball on, to the green, which is the little grassy bit where the hole is that you're meant to put the ball in one shot. He's like, excellent. I go off the tee, goes about 3 inches in front of me. One shot I hit, it went behind me. I don't know how you managed to start worse off than, you know, end up on your second shot further back than your first. Anyway, so this is how the days go. Becca's dad's in between the two of us ability-wise, so he's doing pretty well. So, we're hitting away, I'm losing ball after ball, I'm holding up the whole thing. To put into perspective just how good the other Kev is at golf and how much he plays. At one point, I thought he was taking the piss, but he wasn't. At one point, he pulls out this, like, telescope, right? A handheld, like, white, looked like a camcorder. And he looks at the hole, like, way off wherever it is. And he goes, 246 metres, yards to the hole. Probably need a good 3-iron. And I'm like... Whereas I'm like, the flag, it'd be over there. Maybe I need this one with the bulbous head. Yes. So he's very good and he knows what he's doing. So then we get halfway around, by the way. If you've ever done golf, it's a 4-hour game. I don't want to do anything. That anything that's 4 hours, I don't care whether that's sex, eating. I don't want to do anything for 4 hours. Nothing. Maybe sleep at a push. I don't even like doing that for 4 hours at times. Anyway, halfway round, I'm knackered. 2 hours in, I've been walking around. I don't do any exercise normally, so this is like the bridge over the River Kwai sort of walk territory for me. So halfway round, my legs are aching, my back's aching, my arms are aching. I'm about to tee off, and Kev, the semi-professional golfer, comes over and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're missing a club, mate. And he is from down south. That was quite accurate. I went, what? He said, yeah, you've dropped a club. So it turns out not only am I ruining everyone's game and everyone else's nice day out in the sun, because it was about 80 degrees as well, I'm burnt in the face, in the arms, on the neck. I've also managed to lose a golf club. Yeah. Now, how you like a golf ball, that's acceptable, because you're basically hitting something which is like 3 centimetres across, hundreds of yards away, into trees. So you're expected to lose a golf ball. A golf club, however, is about 3 foot high with a big fat head. Honestly, it's like a circus dwarf. It's massive. You cannot lose a golf club. It should be nigh on impossible to lose a 3 foot long piece of metal with a big bulbous head. And it was a 3-iron that I lost as well, which is the tallest of the irons, apparently. Except for the 2-iron, which no one uses. Yes, apparently so. Anyway, yeah, I've lost a golf club. They're not mine. So that was halfway round. So now I'm a club down in case they ever wanted to use it. So I basically had to apologise very much. Specker's dad, as you would expect, because he's a lovely bloke, was just like, oh, I'm not arsed, they're my old ones, don't worry about it, it's fine. But I was very much like, no, I must run back over every hole over the other 2 hours we've walked and try and find this piece of thin metal in long grass. To be fair, I didn't do that though, I only went to one hole. I went, no, it's lost. Because, you know, what? I couldn't spend the rest of the day looking for it. Anyway, long story short, 4 hours. 4 hours. Burnt face, lost club, ripped top. That was my golfing experience. So yesterday, you know, I know people say, what are you doing now that you know you fellowed from work? Well, yesterday, I annoyed a radio receptionist and shortly after, burnt my face, ripped a top and lost a golf club. So things are going well. So this day can only get better. I say that realising that I planned to do this episode with Becca and then forgot she was going to get a haircut. She'll hopefully be back for the Patreon episode. So, oh, by the way, yeah, when I got back after the golf thing yesterday, Becca has now acknowledged that she should never be left alone to do anything. Well, shopping at least. So when I get in, listen to this. If you're wondering what that is, I'll tell you what that is. That is a tiny shopping trolley, right? Or shopping cart, as the Americans would say. It's basically a metal cage on wheels, right, with a little handle on it. To be fair, it says M&S, so it's Marks and Spencer's, so it's a good little shopping trolley, but it's a little shopping trolley. Next to that was a little basket. So I'm saying to her, what are they? She literally acknowledged I should never be allowed to shop alone. She said, I just thought they were very cute, so I got them. And to be fair, the shopping trolley is like, you know, it's absolutely perfect in terms of scale down, but it is a time like to put it to perspective. I can just about get my mobile phone in there. There you go. So if I want to take my mobile phone for a little journey across the table in the shopping trolley, I can do that. And I said to her, "We don't need. You know, not only do we not need this, I fail to see who, apart from the very, very, very minutely small, would need this." And then about an hour later, I came back up and she said, "No, I found something to use the basket for," and she'd put chocolates in it. Now, I would argue she hasn't found something to use the basket for because there was previously a Tupperware box with chocolates in it. So she basically emptied that out and put chocolates in this. Which is a bit like if I had a crash helmet for a motorcycle and came in and she said, we don't need a crash helmet, none of us ride a motorcycle. And I went, yeah, well, we can't just have it then, can we? She would say, you know, what are we going to use it for? If I then started to put pint glasses in it and said, well, that's where we keep the pint glasses now. I haven't found a use for it, have I? I've just put stuff in it that was once somewhere better placed. So, but, you know, we still have the shopping trolley empty and on the table here. So I'm excited to see what she eventually does with that, if anything at all. Yes, so I'm doing this episode with no notes, no nothing. I'm just rambling, see where we go. I've heard it can turn you mad, but I doubt it. I think I'm already there. Banter! I hate people like that. Anyway, So yeah, you may note as well, at the end of the last proper episode, I managed to catch a bit of like an EVP / movement within the recording studio / spare bedroom. And people are saying, some people are saying, I think it's breath. Some people are saying the noise is worth fabric. I'm in two minds. If I listen to it today, I may hear breath. If I listen to it tomorrow, I may hear fabric. But even if it is fabric, what's moving the fabric is my issue. And it could be something just moving in gravity. Anyway, it got me thinking, it's like 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning here. It's glorious. The sun is shining through the window. I am warm. I am gloriously happy. I have a coffee with me in my 14 times mug. There's living proof of that. And I thought, you know, why are ghosts, or why are they ghostly? Because last time when I recorded, it was like, getting up to midnight, dark, windy. Why do they have to have that? Is it something that us humans have placed on them? You know, they have to come in the dark, they have to come at midnight, they have to come at 3 o'clock. Maybe they don't. So here we are, nice, sunny, all sound. I'm going to ask out now for them to do something. If there is an evil, no, it doesn't have to be evil. If there is an entity of any sort, spiritual or otherwise, in this apartment, could you please do something like perhaps knock a glass, but don't smash it, because I'd have to clean it up. Or knock the neighbour's cat's food that we leave out for it in case it comes in. But again, don't spill it, because I'd have to clean it up. Basically, if you could do something paranormal, but tidy, that's what I'm looking for. Anything? Oh, God. FYI, nothing happened other than the neighbour's cat jumping into the living room with a big startling pronounce. And there was no need for that, was there? Was there? You are very cute. But you're also a bit of a knob, because you just made me absolutely poo myself. So, yeah, nothing really much has happened there. I mean, there's been a few. We've had a few flickering lights. We've had a few. Remember, if you're on the Facebook group, you remember a couple of months back, we had a flickering lamp. I know, it could just be electrics, but it also could be the devil himself. Let's not fool ourselves here. So, do you want to hear a joke? And the reason for that is, I don't know, like to give reasons for things. Do I do this often? You'll have to let me know. I think I do. The reason for that is, I can only assume that I was challenged a lot as a child, and I feel the reason to go, well, the reason I'm saying this is, anyway. Obviously, I've done stand-up in the past. I've quite successfully locally. I've won a few competitions, etc. Nothing outside of Liverpool. So, people have asked, what does your stand-up entail? What sort of thing does it do? And I've always been quite reticent to do it, because it's a bit like, oh, get me, I tell jokes and people laugh. But I thought I would say the opening line of how I used to open my stand-up sets. So, and then you can just kind of take the picture from here of where it goes. So, I would open it by saying, now remember, they don't know me from Adam. So, in the premise of this stand-up, I don't drive and I still live at home, okay? As you'll find out in the opening line. So I would come on stage and I'd say, hey everyone, my name's Kev, I'm 40 years of age, and I don't drive. Doesn't sound like much, but if you go to a swingers party and put a bus pass into a bowl full of car keys, you're coming home alone. And everyone laughs. And then when the laugh dies down, you say, I'm before 11. And the laugh picks back up. Good, eh? Little techniques there, little stand-up techniques. A double punch, I think that's called. And then you'd call back to that at some point within the routine. I'll tell you what, anyone who's wanting to do or has previously done or has tried to do stand-up, they will tell you the same. Even when I first done it, this guy said, you just need like 6 minutes of material. That's all you need. You may not get that far because it's a gong system, so you may be voted off. I was like, that sounds terrifying for somebody who's doing it for the first time. But you try and come up with 6 minutes of material, honest to God, on the premise that it's meant to be funny. You know, you're meant to make people laugh throughout that 6 minutes. I tell you what, it's the toughest thing. It's not tough to, you know, anyone who said, oh, I don't know why you can get up on stage and try and make people laugh. That part's easy. If you know you've got good material and you've got my eyesight, no one's there anyway because you can't fucking see anyone. But that part, the performing part is easy. The writing it to make it funny for 6 minutes is intense. So God knows, you know, doing it really made me look at the people who have like Netflix specials and they're doing stand up for an hour and 10 minutes. It's like, I don't know how you manage to do it. But I did notice that if you ever go to a comedy club, you'll notice that somebody's trying to get what they call, is it like their tight 10 or whatever? Tight 10 or quick 6 or something, I don't know. It basically means they're trying to get their best material in the small slot. So if you see stand-ups at a comedy club, you'll notice they go relatively quick. They're trying to punch, 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 punch. And you do notice then when you watch these specials, they have to. It's obvious they have to drag it out because sometimes they do it and you think, you're not funny, you've left it too long. But sometimes they do it well. Like, my favourite stand-up comedian of all time is Billy Connolly. He's a hero. I will phone him work sick and take a day of bereavement leave when Billy Connolly dies because I genuinely think he's one of a kind and the world will be a much sadder place when Billy Connolly dies. And I very much base my ethics on him. You know, if there's to do with everything, to do with all of the taboo subjects, not taboo, but you know all the touchy subjects which have come prevalent in the last 4 or 5 years, anything to do with any of those, I guide myself by what Billy Connolly says. And you know what, 9 times out of 10, he basically says, are you hurting anyone? No. Is someone just being, like, butt hurt, for want of a better sentence? Is someone just being, what's the phrase? It's a wonderful phrase. Is someone just virtue signalling? I got into an argument with someone recently when they were virtue signalling. Let me tell you what it was, and you'll see what I mean. So basically, there was a big protest in Liverpool recently. It wasn't big. There was about 200 people there. But it was part of this QAnon thing. You'll have seen it in the news. If not, Google QAnon protests and you'll see exactly what it is. But it's basically a conspiracy group, QAnon, where they believe that coronavirus doesn't exist, that the government are trying to get rid of cash to make a cashless system, that vaccines give you autism, that 5G causes cancer. You know, all these apps, like that the governments are part of some satanic paedophile ring, that, you know, that a pizza bill on Hillary Clinton's expenses was actually her buying children to eat, to feast on their adrenochrome, which is a special, all this absolute bollocks. But it's ran, these groups are ran under the name QAnon. Anyway, what happened was horrible recently. Throughout the UK and the States, these QAnon groups, on one particular day, they ran a series of protests called, based on saving children from child trafficking. Now, that is a very moral and noble cause, obviously. You know, anyone with an ounce of sense is against paedophilia, is against child trafficking. And they ran these things, but then each and every protest crept into, there were banners for all of what I've just said. You know, coronavirus is a hoax. No one there in any of these protests are wearing masks. You know, coronavirus is fake, 5G causes all this bollocks that they're pushing through under it because they've attached an emotive subject to it. Now, if you look at any of these actual protests, the facts that they were quoting were all, there was nothing like, you know, it wasn't like stop child trafficking. Look at this report by this charity who deals with child trafficking. It was nothing like that. It was stop child trafficking. Hillary Clinton eats children. You know, it was like, what? And they'd attached an emotive subject. There were people there that I know, who used to work with, who'd gone along because, and this is why they're very clever, these groups, they'd gone along on the pretense or the premise that they were attending an anti-paedophilia march, right? A rally. Now, in my mind, isn't that just like having an anti-murder march? Paedophilia is obviously illegal. Everybody knows that. And there was no substance to this protest. As I say, they wasn't asking anyone to sign something. They wasn't getting any petitions signed, anything to go to court. It was literally just a group of people who were convinced that the elite are part of a paedophile ring. But they were badging it up as, if you don't side with us, you're all right with paedophilia. That's how they were positioning it. And I brought this out on a Facebook post of mine, on my personal Facebook. And it turns out that someone that I worked with in the past had organised the march in Liverpool. So they come on to defend it. And I shut them down, basically, because it deserved to be shot down. And they were saying things like, well, we moved our march to coincide with World Child Trafficking Day, you know, to bring attention to the thing. And I thought, hold on. So I Googled it. Lo and behold, World Child Trafficking Day is an actual event run by proper companies and proper charities in July. So I let them know this. She wasn't happy with that. So, you know, basically, and then she came round with other people of my friends. I've deleted this post now because it's just not worth, you're never going to convince these people that they're arseholes. So basically, other people who are on my Facebook started coming in and going, no, Kev's talking sense here, blah, 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 blah. And I thought this could get a little bit, although she's spouting absolute bollocks, this could get a bit bullying and I don't want that. So I was keeping my eye on it anyway to get rid. But then she put, like, as people saying, no, Kev's talking the truth to you. There was no substance to it. You wasn't asking, there was no relevance. You didn't ask any people who were walking around with COVID is fake, don't wear a mask. Around children, by the way, who are completely going to look at that and then say, no, Nan, I don't need to wear one. Cough, cough, ooh, Nan's dead. They weren't moving them people on. So they were actually embracing them to make it look like they had larger numbers. So it was a complete farce, basically. A complete embarrassment to anyone who's actually trying to do something with child trafficking, in my opinion. So then, people are saying, yeah, Kev's right, blah, 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 blah. So then she puts underneath, clearly by all the comments above, none of you find the topic of paedophilia or child trafficking a serious conversation. And it was the key word that brought me onto this beautiful phrase, virtue signalling. It's a wonderful thing. And it's virtue signalling is a wonderful phrase because we do need to be very careful in my eyes in recent times. You know, there are completely valid reasons for people being upset. I'm not talking about child paedophilia now. That's all obvious stuff. I mean, like in terms of gender, race. Just the other week, we put out a podcast on the Patreon. Within it, I inadvertently said a joke which could be construed as homophobic. And it was homophobic, in truth. I just never realised that it was. I won't repeat it because it is a homophobic joke. And it was pointed out to me by a Patreon who just very eloquently just said, just so you know, that's a homophobic joke. And I was taken aback because I thought, well, I'm not, you know, and this is the interesting thing. I'm not, in my mind, in my core, I'm not homophobic, I'm not racist, I'm not sexist. But that was a homophobic joke. And I said it without realising it was homophobic. Oh, because I'm that entrenched, if you like, in this. And I'll use the phrase, which I initially wasn't fond of, but it's fucking true, of my white male privilege. You know, that I was shown that by stating a homophobic joke, no reference of if it offended anyone. And it was brilliant. The person who let me know about it just said, just so you know, here you go. I was like, God, that's amazing. That's an education. Thank you so much for letting me know. They were like, don't worry about it. That's brilliant. And that was it done. Now, and that's how everything should be handled, in my opinion. I need to say that quite often in this. But virtue signalling is such a wonderful phrase if it's used right, because it allows you to disarm the arsehole, because there are arseholes out there who just want to be offended. Look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm offended, and that's what I exist for. That's what they're going to do. Now that is virtue signalling. So remember the phrase, virtue signalling. Hold it in your pocket like a weapon to wield against these arseholes. Because anybody who tries to take pleasure from offence or tries to develop their personality or be, what's the phrase? I don't know. This is very serious, isn't it? I told you I shouldn't talk for over 20 minutes alone. But yeah, you'll know the sorts of people. People who just seem to revel that their entire personality is offence. Virtue signalling. That's what it's called. And at the end of that little motto, hello. Beck is back.
Are you talking to yourself or are you podcasting?
Podcasting. Your hair looks lovely.
Thank you.
I'm saying that. I haven't seen it yet, but it's what you say when someone's had the haircut, isn't it?
Thanks.
I just went on a big rant about virtue signalling. I shouldn't be left alone to podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't think I'm going to offend anyone, but I'm going to have to put it out as it is.
Almost certainly you're not offended.
No, I'm just saying that people need to use the phrase virtue signalling as a weapon against people who are constantly offended about shite. Because otherwise you'll just start mumbling and walk away thinking, why are they such a tit?
Okay.
Oh, good, you've brought in the smelly rug that we don't
yes,
need.
Yes, because today's the perfect day to wash it.
It stinks.
That's why we're washing it.
It was in the car, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the perfect day. We've been waiting for a bright, windy day, so it'll dry on the balcony. This
it's
is
never
the perfect
dry.
Day.
How are we going to hang it out?
You said we were going to put stuff on the balcony, like put it over, hang it over chairs or something?
I was drunk when I said that.
No, you weren't. You were driving.
Same thing. I don't drink and drive, by the way.
You certainly do not.
I know. Anyway.
I'm just saying.
So it's been 31 minutes of me ranting now, so are you going to join me for a Patreon in a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Your hair does look nice, actually, to be fair.
Thank you. Yeah, I really needed it. That was a long break. For everyone has a long break, but that was a long break even for me. I usually go like twice a year, don't I?
Yeah, I've explained that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So
what came off, do you think?
Yeah, no, it looks really nice. Yeah.
I feel like I've lost weight.
I'm not surprised the amount of working out you do. Anyway, so unless you join us on the Patreon.
Hello, little neighbour's cat. Hello, beautiful. Hello. Hello, princess.
The neighbour's cat just came to see Becca.
Hello, beautiful girl. Such a lovely neighbour's cat.
Such a lovely neighbour's cat. Anyway, unless you're going to join us on the Patreon shortly, then we will speak to you on Sunday for the episode a proper. In the meantime and in between time, thank you very much for tolerating my rant on idiots.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's fine.
It's just the fact that when you say, the fact that the first thing you said was, I don't think I've offended anyone, means you've almost certainly offended.
Well, there's no intent to offend anyone. And you know what, if I've offended people who believe in things like 5G causing cancer and things like that, then I'm not arsed. Happily tune out. Okay, then we'll speak to you on Sunday. And will you please, Becca, join me on the next We Don't, so that I don't end up going down this rabbit hole of...
Yes, certainly. I usually do join you on the We Don'ts, just because I was out.
Okay. Well, apologies to anyone who was expecting a lighter episode than that. And I'll speak to you on Sunday. Tatty bye.
Bye, guys.